Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
On the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you might be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, here in the beautiful state of Texas, home of Eloquent Online, AdTracts.org, and of course, your Friday friend, Radio Free Credit Union Show, joined as always, the COO of big old bad South Carolina Federal Credit Union, Mr. Troy Hall. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, and I'm so happy to welcome all of our listeners here from beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, because even when it rains, the sun still shines.
I believe it. Hey, we are excited. We are working our way down to the end of 2010. We've got three shows left today. We've got next week and the week after that, and then Troy and I are going to take a well-deserved Christmas hiatus, and we're looking forward to that, and we're also looking forward to getting back in 2011 for more Radio Free Credit Union shows. Hey, Troy, I'm gonna set this show up right now. I think one of the best things that ever happened to this show, besides you coming on, of course, and giving away your photo.
Thank you. Yeah. Hold your applause.
The studio audience is waiting for our real guest. when Sarah started coming on at the end of the month, the Sarah Says segment, I thought that's when the show took off, because it was like, this is somebody who talks to gazillions of credit union people, you know, week to week, and gives us a great perspective out there. And this show today, although it's not the end of the month, Sarah was unavailable last week, and we had a bunch of stuff going on. I think it's just great to have her on the show.
I do, too. I love listening to Sarah. She has such a great perspective.
Well, you know what the music is?
Yeah, baby, Sarah.
You're the poet in my heart.
And
hello.
She pushed us, man. We got a better
never
intro. All right. Hey, it is not the end of the month. It is the first of the month. And what better way to wrap up, you know, as we close out the year that is 2010, Sarah, you stay connected out there in ways that I could never stay connected with phone, email, Twitter, all that social media stuff, whatever. I was looking at your tweet yesterday about the poll you guys are running at CU Times on the top news stories of the year, and I can't wait to find out what the audience says, but I want to know, and our audience wants to know, Sarah, what was the top news story for credit unions in 2010?
Well, you know, there's been no shortage of news this year, particularly relating to the corporates, and right now I will give a little sneak peek. The leading story, according to our readers, is the corporate conservatorships that happened on September 24th. That was the conservatorship of Members United, Southwest Corporate, and Constitution Corporate. Now, I have to say, I'm not sure. That's not my first pick. That would be a close number two, but that's not my my first pick. I would think that the Legacy Asset Plan, which was a little more, it was veiled in secrecy. It was the agency tried to keep a real lid on it. So when that was announced and how the agency was going to deal with all those bad assets in the five corporates, then I think that was really, to me, should be the biggest story of the year. But, you know, that's not up to me. That's up to our readers who run the credit unions, who are paying the assessments and everything else.
Yeah, really. Well, it's good that you have an opportunity to, you know, counter the perspective of what the folks were thinking of, as the lead story, and probably a lot of that may have to do with its recency and also have to do with the legality around it, where there's still some pending legality, where the Legacy Asset Plan was like, okay, here it is, done, finished, we're kind of done and over with.
True, but, yeah.
But anything, but for sure, regardless of either of those, we know that this credit union marketplace is anything but boring. And I want, and so I want to take a little twist here, and I want to know what Sarah says based on if you were a consultant rather than the editor of the newspaper, what would be your advice to credit unions? What should they focus on in 2011?
Well, I think the big thing is not to retrench because of economic and NCUA concerns. I mean, obviously there are the budget realities of the paying for the agency's budget that went up 12% this year, the assessments that are going to be 20 to 35 basis points, including the premiums as well. But I think not retrenching is a big, important piece of continuing a viable business. And a lot of that is marketing and PR. And while those budgets are often the first ones to get cut, it can still be done. I mean, it's going to take more legwork rather than money, but it can still be done by pursuing the press with op-ed pieces in your local papers, letters to the editor, offering up your executives as resources in your local paper, social media, things that don't cost dollars and cents, but a little extra time can go a long way to expanding your membership, expanding service to your different members and potential members. That'd be my
advice. Okay, yeah. So you're thinking that it's basically continue more of an aggressive or progressive approach into the marketplace when you say do not retrench, meaning that don't just hunker down and kind of wait for things to happen, but kind of keep it going.
Right, make things happen.
Yeah. Make things happen.
But I mean, one of the important pieces to being able to market yourself and do all this PR would be to have the products and services already in place, hopefully, in order to become possibly a primary financial institution to your members.
That is super interesting because when I think back on the year that you know, it was 2010, I'll tell you, I've been at events all over the country. I've been in credit unions in every time zone. And as fascinated as I've been with all the social media stuff that's out there, the crash, the GAC that kind of got the year started back in February, in every credit union I went to, whether it was on the desk of the CEO, whether it was on in the waiting area, was a copy of the CU Times. Do you think it's fascinating in 2010 with all of this digital stuff around us that paper-based news source is still so relevant in the credit union world in 2010?
Well, you know, we did. We obviously believe that it is still relevant because we just redesigned the magazine back in October and got nothing but positive feedback about that, which isn't good. You
I
never know
it.
When there's change.
Really loves it.
I am technically like on the younger edge of Gen X, but I print out emails. I'm sorry, I'm not as good as you, Jason. I print out emails and read them all the time.
Do you really?
I'm kind of old school myself.
So you have had some conversations in the last few weeks with some credit union executives, haven't you, Sarah?
A couple, sure.
Yeah, just a few. But so, you know, and we're reading, and, you know, Jason talked about how the – looking at the Times and actually saying, well, we're reading it. So whether you're reading it actually paper printed or whether you're reading it online, it's still, this information is still important. And I think that there's a little bit of a buzz out there, and maybe even others that have taken action on leaving the credit union world in favor of a bank charter.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. So
no, that's always something to have in mind, honestly. I think a credit union executive is not doing their due diligence if they don't at least look at it. However, I think the executive is always responsible, one way or the other, to do what's best for their membership. And if that's what their membership wants, because, for example, they want to escape the member business lending cap, then I think it's that credit union's duty to at least look at it.
And would you kind of also wrap that up into that do not retrench kind of mentality, meaning saying that, yes, you should be looking at all kinds of options, make sure that you have done your due diligence in that whole process?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, there are other options. I mean, for example, with the business lending cap, there are other options rather than converting charter, too. If a credit union partners with the SBA, then they can have part of their business loans guaranteed. And when those loans are guaranteed, they are not counted against the credit union's cap. So I think there are a lot of things that, credit unions need to look at, including, you know, a charter conversion, if that's what the membership wants. But there are a lot of options, and it seems the NCOA has started tracking stats on how converted credit unions rates, where they end up going, and it's never as good as when they were a credit union.
Right.
You know, that's a tough question to answer, and when I come back, I want to talk about where I think the credit union marketplace is at the end of the year and get your opinion on it. We're visiting with Sarah Cook. She's the editrix of the CU Times, and we'll be back right after this. Not after that, but after that. All right, we're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it is Radio Free. Sarah, you just talked about, you know, I'm in Texas, obviously, where $2 billion credit unions, I think back in 2005, 2006, converted to a bank charter, became banks basically, you know, switched sides or whatever. I think it's great that people are going to go now and look and say, okay, what opportunities are they offering to members that used to be a part of a credit union that might be not as competitive when they were a credit union? However, my thought at the close of 2010, is, with all of that stuff aside, is that when you look at the banking marketplace as it is today, December 3rd, 2010, credit unions are clearly still a viable part of the banking marketplace. I'm the treasurer for my son's school's booster club, and it doesn't sound like much, but you would not believe how much cash and checks this little booster club generates. And when I go through the checks, I'm amazed at how many of them are Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union, which has a huge 30-year presence here in New Braunfels. What do credit unions have to do in 2011, 2012, 2013 to remain a viable part of the American banking marketplace?
Yeah, I think credit unions, I agree with you, credit unions are definitely a viable part of that marketplace. I actually have handled checks for my volleyball team, and I know we've got a couple Navy Federal members on my volleyball team. But credit unions are also a minuscule part of the financial services marketplace, so that's a piece they need to work on. I think that credit unions haven't grown much above 6% of the marketplace in the last couple of years and really need to grab hold of the opportunity they're facing right now with the banks losing favor with members, or excuse me, their customers. Credit unions... I'm sorry, Jason, repeat the question. I'm too hyped for cold medicine right now.
I mean, it's obvious that credit unions, I mean, you always have this sort of stratification in the banking marketplace. You've got the big four banking brands, you know, Bank of America, Wells, Chase, and Citi. And, oh, by the way, I think we should probably add USAA to that mix because they might be the best bank in America when I look at what they're doing from a branch strategy and stuff like that. But the question is, there's no doubt that credit unions are still an option. When mom is out there shopping during the day, she's pulling out a debit card to pay for Christmas presents. A significant percentage of Americans are paying with credit union debit cards today. What do credit unions have to do to not only stay part of the banking marketplace, but expand their presence?
Well, thank you. I think, again, that goes back to marketing and PR. They need to tell their story better and louder. I think there should be a national branding campaign of some sort, something along the lines of the Got Milk campaign or the anti-drug campaign with the eggs frying in the frying pan, something very visual that people can understand exactly what a credit union can do for them.
Kind of like a Super Bowl moment, like a Super Bowl ad or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In addition, I mean, that would be a great one-time, you know, hit, but it's got to be just constant too.
I would say this, and she mentioned Navy Federal Credit Union. Their ads, sometimes they do that. They remind people that their credit union is out there because they go head-to-head with the USAA ads on the big broadcast football and primetime stuff. But I agree with you. I think credit unions could do a better job of more of a national branding to say, hey, you can pick a credit union in your community wherever you might live. It doesn't have to be Navy, obviously. It can be anything.
Yeah, I think that in from my own experience, from a marketing perspective, and having tried to do this in two different states, getting involved in a national campaign, the problem that we have is, and this is the part for those listening credit unions, you're going to have to take a deep breath when I say this, but it is very difficult getting through to credit unions, smaller credit unions, to understand why they need to get behind it. And then for those larger credit unions, for you to take another deep breath and maybe a swig of something, is that you are so prideful about your own marketing that you just don't want to participate into a national program that actually can produce some sort of awareness and unify the entire thing. And it, for me, what I see in meeting after meeting after meeting is this craft table mentality. People look at it and they go, oh, I can do that myself. And they forget the synergy that can actually be accomplished by moving ourselves together and coming up with something that can actually work.
Now, well, so, Troy, it sounds like you think that Cranes have lost their cooperative spirit.
In this particular regard, they have. It is really not the same thing. As far as sharing information is concerned, sharing resources is okay, but you would think that this group that has been around for over 75 years would figure out that if they could pull themselves together in unity of voice, it would make a stronger difference. I mean, we do surveys after surveys, and our members who have been members for years cannot even remember how they've become a member to articulate that to somebody else. And so it creates this barrier of entry is really so dominant in our marketing force. And what we have forgotten is we could leverage that by everybody unifying themselves under one brand element like you talked about. So there, that's the world according to Troy.
Sorry, I couldn't resist asking a question since I'm
And you're all, you know, for those of you that don't know, Sarah also hosts a show on the water cooler side. So, no, it's I think it's fascinating. Sarah, I think for my part, having the conversations with you through the course of the year has given me a completely different perspective on the market. We're heading up to New Jersey on Monday for our final event of the year, myself and the band, for the marketing conference up in New Jersey. And I feel like I'm going to be able to talk to them about sort of really the way the business world is going to find itself as we open up the new decade. And on behalf of Troy and myself, I just want to thank you so much for joining us every month the way you have and giving us this global perspective that you possess with the credit union marketplace. We really appreciate it.
Well,
yes,
I appreciate
Sarah,
you being here. Thank you. Thank you for giving me so much credit.
Thank you, Sarah.
She always adds such a professional angle to the show that I guess you and I have to work at so hard. You know, it is. When you said that credit unions have to take a deep breath or take a swig of something, I agree with you. I think you have to – it is time for tough talk. And I love what Sarah said about let's not entrench. Let's kind of go back. Even though I may not always believe in it, Troy, I may not always believe that people come to the credit union because they want to be a part of some movement. I do believe that there is something to be said for a branding of the credit unions that allows people to understand what it is when they join a credit union, what that means.
Yeah. I know exactly where you are, but I don't want to keep going on my own diatribes here. So I'm taking my own deep breath and my own swig of something.
You better not be. We're still on the air. Hey, listen,
it's
when we
water.
Come back.
It's water.
I ran out of water, too, because I was listening to the conversation so intently. I drank all my little glass of water here. I do have a little bit left. Hey, listen, when we come back from the break, we've got Sheila Finley from Prime Alliance. She's the VP of Real Estate Services up in Washington State. And when Sarah talks about, hey, let's not retrench. Let's get out there. Let's market. To me, one of the best opportunities for credit unions to market their brand in the next 3 or 4 years, if we can say the strategic vision is now limited to 18 months, 24 months, or whatever, is going to be A, one more shot at the baby boomers and their retirement portfolio. I think that's going to still be out there as a viable target. But the other one is going to be when the housing market comes back, Troy, I believe the economy is going to come back. And it's not about reports in USA Today. It's about behavior. And you got all these 70 million Gen Yers. They're going to start buying their first house or buying their parents' house or used properties and stuff like that. I think that's going to bring the economy back in a big way. And I think if credit unions want to be viable and relevant and want to grow, not just exist, they're going to want to hear what Sheila has to say. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
We're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, and we're joined now by Sheila Finley. She is the VP of Real Estate Services up with Prime Alliance out of Washington State. Hey, Sheila, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jason. Thank you.
I have to ask, I mean, what did you think of what Sarah had to say?
You know, I was thinking about it and thinking, you know, when she said credit unions shouldn't entrench, I see that right now that they are doing that. They really are, and they need to take this opportunity while, you know, the iron is hot to get out there and while the banks are, you know, obviously not in the favor of their customers.
Right. Well,
yeah.
I mean, she really hit it right there.
You work for Prime Alliance, so a lot of people that have seen us at our events and stuff like that, the second event we ever did with myself and Scott and Knife was your event back in Seattle of 2008. And I always go back to that event and think about how many things have changed. We really hadn't had the financial meltdown yet. I think 2 years from now, a period of time that will seem equally quick, we could very well be back in a period of prolonged growth. And I believe the housing market is going to be key to that. You deal with credit unions. You deal with the marketplace. What do credit unions have to do to be part of that next housing boom? Because there's going to be one.
They have to create a way to become very relevant to the newer generation of home buyers and sellers. I have nieces and nephews that are graduating from college and talking to me now about, Aunt Sheila, what about buying a house? And the credit unions have to move with these people. And you talk about it all the time, about how they need to use technology to their benefit.
Right.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you talked about the technology. You know, sort of looking at a lot of companies and trying to figure out, okay, so where is this technology going to take us and what's going to happen? I wanted to chat with you a little bit about your mobile product that you have, because I think it's really cool. And before I ask you my question, I just want to set this up. Recently, we circulate here in the credit union any news stories and things of interest to our team just so that they can pay attention to what's happening. And a concept called carrier billing is actually making some groundway. And it is the concept of when you go in to make a purchase, instead of running it through the traditional debit card process through MasterCard and Visa, it actually will go through your phone and will appear on your phone bill.
Wow.
And so we know, and I have these articles that I've saved here that I've just kind of was briefing through a little bit in preparation for this, and we know that mobile movement is big in European countries. I mean, they figured out they use the phone to pay for stuff. I mean, you know, that's been happening, and we seem to be taking a little bit longer. So tell me a little bit about this mobile product that you have for credit union, and I believe it's called PARS.
Pairs Mobile.
Pairs Mobile. Okay, tell us about that.
Well, before I answer that, I you know, something that struck me is that I have to travel for work quite a bit, and I was watching people with their iPhones through Delta checking in at with the scanners on their phone.
Wow.
They're scanning their phone as they're going through to get on the plane, and I thought, you know, the future of phones is what people want. I mean, we're all on our phones texting. But to go to Pairs Mobile is a product that we brought on to have our credit unions utilize to be relevant. And what I mean by that is that their buyers can actually get MLS information. They can be sitting out in front of a property and get MLS information directly to their phone. If they have a smartphone, they can get all the pictures that are available on the MLS to their phone, brought to them by their credit union.
You know, Sheila, I travel a lot, as you know, because I do professional speaking and I travel with the band and stuff like that. I had not seen that yet, to be perfectly honest with you. I had not seen people checking in with their phone. And if I had to sit back, and Troy and I, we kind of did a show like this. Maybe we did it prematurely, Troy. We were like the best of the decade. What are some of the things that really made a difference in the economy? Whatever we call it. I think it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of quaint, almost sentimental to call it a cell phone. It really is a pocket computer now. And it seems to me what you're saying is that if you want to be where the next generation of home buyers and car buyers and new account openers, by the way, are going to be, your brand, your operations have to fit in that cargo pocket of those Abercrombie, you know, pants or whatever. And I don't know, it just fascinates me that I'm 43, obviously. The thought of being able to look, and I've bought two homes in my life, and both involved a newspaper, a realtor, a series of phone calls, you know, nothing electronic. It just sounds like you're saying that if credit unions don't get ready for that future right now, when the future gets here, it's going to be too late.
Absolutely, because you see all these big banks with their taking a picture of the check to deposit it.
We talked about that.
And we've got, you know, different pieces where, like Prime Alliance clients can actually do everything paperless. And that's part of the technology that the credit unions need to have. Now, this piece is actually going to allow that member to do everything from their phone, which is what they want to do. If you think about it, you see people texting everywhere you go. You see people with their head down over their phone texting.
Right.
You've got, and picture this. This is a credit union member. They're standing in line, the teller line, at their credit union, and their credit union is utilizing our PAIRS mobile product, and they put on their digital reader board or whiteboard or whatever they're using for the member to save a specific code to their phone as a contact. And then they have an advertisement of their new or some properties that they have that they've taken back, unfortunately, and find out information about this property. The person standing in line with their phone says, okay, they save that contact, they put in that address, they get the MLS information back on that property, what it's valued at, pictures, everything for them while they're standing in line within 6 seconds.
Yeah, Sheila, it's just amazing what can be done with technology and tapping into it. And Jason, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show here and following up with Sarah. And thank you for being equally as exciting as Sarah in bringing it. So for folks who want to wrap up any of this and want to make sure that they get some of this information, just remind us one more time, how can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me. My email address is sfinley@primealliancerez.com, or they can call toll-free 877-638-2817, and we can talk about it. I can give them a presentation.
Excellent. Sheila, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I loved your picture, Troy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I paid her $7 to say that.
Good. That's 50 more cents than what I'm going to make at the end of my career.
Well, again, with 90 seconds left in the show, the time does go by quickly. I was thinking about it this week, Troy. The cell phone, or whatever we call it, to me has been the one thing that I can't escape. I could give up Facebook tomorrow and I wouldn't miss it, but I could not give up my cell phone.
Well, yeah. Well, part of the reason you're on your cell phone is to update your Facebook, so maybe you have to rethink that thought. But nonetheless, I agree with you, and I think we need to do a show after the first of the year talking about mobile devices, technology, and really getting all that into it, because we need to do that.
Yeah, I agree. It is it is obvious that is sort of like the sole survivor, if you will, of, you know, MySpace probably won't survive into 2012, but I bet our cell phone bills will. Hey, listen, man, you have a great, great weekend out there in South Carolina.
Thank you.
I will look forward to doing this with you again next week. If it's Friday, you know it's Radio Free Credit Union show. And next week, we're going to have a guest that I think represents my favorite event of the year. And it's not just like a corporate event. It's just a whole combination of things, a story about a credit union legitimately changing its generational destiny. And I want to tell that story one more time next year. And then, Troy, big surprise guest coming up at the very, very end of the year. So you have a great weekend. We'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, man. See you.